Blog Talk Radio.
I finally stopped talking over the English woman. It throws me off every single time. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of What the Cluck, a podcast that is devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I am Matt from Frugal Chicken. Y'all know who I am. I don't need to keep introducing myself, but I do because I'm sure we have first-time listeners, or we'll have long-time listeners, first-time callers, right? Anyways, in today's episode, what we're going to talk all about is myths I see online about what you should and should not feed your chickens, and some of the crackerdoodle advice I see out there that makes me particularly nuts. So we're going to get all into those, and then we're going to talk about also the ones that are true and why they're true, or ones that you see that are kind of true and kind of not true. So with that very nebulous introduction to this episode, this podcast is sponsored by Manipro Poultry, and that is because we love Manipro. These are the scatter snacks that we love. So they have all sorts of chicken feed, from grower crumbles, starter crumbles, and then the layer pellets in particular. And also they have organic, non-organic feed. It's all good. We all love it. My chickens love these scatter snacks. It's just a treat. But if you're trying to train them to come when called, you're trying to train them to use the nesting box, you're trying to train them to, I don't know, whatever you're trying to train them for, these are really perfect for that. Okay. So today's episode, we're going to get all kinds of. So I saw an article online the other day. And I read it was in one of those chicken groups, right? We all know those chicken Facebook groups. We all know every single one of those, right? We all know which ones I'm talking about. And it's full of like the wonky, I mean, there's some good advice in there, but the wonky advice far away the good advice. And to the point of where I'm like, why do people write these articles? Why do they write these articles? It's clear that they've never been around chickens, or they're getting advice from, like, I don't know. Usually it's like old timer advice, or it's like, I don't know, advice. Old timer advice can be very good. Don't get me wrong. When it comes to chickens, it can be a little quirky. I'm not going to tell you where to find the article because I don't want you guys reading it. I don't want to give this person any more it looks like it's an organization. It's not a person. It looks like it's an organization that wrote it. I don't want to give them any more audience than they already got because it's not good. So let's talk about and kind of go through the list of what these toxic foods are. It's called toxic foods. They call them toxic foods. Let's kind of go through that they are and why I think it's kind of horse manure. So just to sort of take it to the baseline, right? You should be feeding your chickens. You can feed your chickens table scraps, obviously. There's nothing wrong with that. It should not comprise the totality of their diet. Same thing with foraging. It shouldn't comprise the totality of their diet. I feed mine 16% protein layer feed. You should kind of do the same. That's sort of like the industry standard, at least the 16% layer feed. If they're growing and they have not started laying eggs yet, you need to feed them a grower feed, or if they're little bitty chicks, a starter feed. But a good, solid commercial feed is, or even when you make yourself, we have made ours ourselves also, that's what you want to start off with. Take a sip of my Ninja Zing here, the official drink of the What the Cluck podcast, because my throat gets dry. So, excuse me, wow, it's one of those days here, guys. All right, so at the same time, guys, if you are enjoying this podcast, please do like it and share it so other people can experience it as well. Also, be sure to leave your comments below if you're joining me on the Facebook page. If you're joining me on Blog Talk Radio, you got to go over to the Facebook page at thefrugalchicken.com/Facebook to join the conversation. Everybody who comments today, guys, we're going to do a contest. It's going to be super fun. Everybody that comments today is going to be entered to win a digital copy of my book, Chickens Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock. So be sure to comment if you want to grab a free copy of that. We'll do a drawing when I'm done with this episode. I'll pick somebody. And my husband does a contest every day at this radio station, and people always cry because they ask a question. And they say, they pick a winner out of everybody who comments, right? And people say, well, I got the question right first. Why didn't I win? It's because it's everybody who comments. Oh, now everybody's commenting. Good. Okay. We'll make this a daily thing where if you comment, you might win a copy of my book. Hello, Jody. Thank you for joining us. I see Jessica's here. Jessica's awesome. We love you, Jessica. I don't know you, but thank you for commenting. Okay, guys, so let's talk about this article. So the first thing, I'm just going to read through the list of what they got on this thing. And understand, you know, I'm not picking on an individual person or organization for fun and games. Like, I'm not doing this to aggrandize myself. I'm doing this because there's legitimately information out there that is highly questionable. And there's scientific evidence that this information is not appropriate to be giving people. So that's kind of like why I wanted to do a podcast on this, not to like make myself look smarter than I am, because really I'm not that smart, but just to give you guys like solid information. So what is on this list are nightshades like potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, salty foods, citrus. Got lots to say about that. Onions, uncooked rice, raw eggs, avocado skin and pit, apple seeds, candy, sugar, chocolate. So what's on that list is not all bad, but there's some on there that are like really not good to be telling people. So I also have a list here. Let me just look at my list real quick. What I do before every episode, if I got my together, is I make a list of what I want to talk about, and kind of like in something like this, I make a list of all like the evidence, so to speak, or like the sort of like the points I want to hit on, just to make sure I'm not missing anything and that I'm not misquoting or mispronouncing anything. Jessica says, haha, thank you. I listened to your podcast and research for a year before getting my chickens. I found your advice the best and have relied on you a lot when it comes to my chickens. Thank you. I love hearing that. That makes me feel good about myself. So let's talk about the nightshades. So yeah, tomatoes and potatoes and eggplants do come from the nightshade category. And people like to say, don't feed it because it's a nightshade, it's going to hurt them. What actually will hurt them are the leaves. Okay, so the leaves of tomatoes and eggplants, potatoes, and then the green skins of potatoes. I just avoid potato skins, period, with my chickens. They don't really like them anyways. But the potato skin can cause problems. What it is about the leaves, it contains something called solanine, I'm not sure exactly how it's pronounced, which can be poisonous. Now, the thing about this, though, is like we're talking like large quantities. So like when they do these studies on chickens, and we'll talk about this more in onions, they like really put a lot in. And they do this with drug studies too, not just on chickens, but also on animals for people drugs. They want to know what's the max. If you give somebody the max, at what point, what is the max that will cause a health issue, right? So that's like why when you see these warnings about like ibuprofen and stuff like that, you see these warnings that say may cause heart attacks, may cause problems if taken in, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, it's because they've done these studies where they've done long-term exposure and they've done high levels of exposure. So that's what they're doing. So when we're talking about chickens having a problem with some of these foods that we'll talk about in this podcast, we're usually talking about long-term exposure or lots of exposure, particularly when we're talking about the leaves, right? The leaves on the nightshade plant. The tomatoes themselves are fine. I mean, I'm sure if you're only feeding your chickens tomatoes and you're feeding it for like 10 years, you might have a problem. But the occasional tomato now and then is not going to cause an issue. But this particular article said, don't feed them uncooked potatoes, tomatoes, or eggplants. I think a lot of us have had the experience of our chickens getting into a compost pile, getting into the garden, right? The tomatoes, right? And everybody's lived to tell the tale. So when it comes to the potato skins, like I said, I avoid potato skins pretty much across the board because let me just scroll down so I make sure I got my information correct. Green potato skins contain larger quantities of solanine. And so I just want to make sure that I don't accidentally cause a problem. In my own kitchen, if I have green potato skins, like potatoes that the skin has turned green, I actually will peel them. If they can't be peeled, let's just say they're really small, I just dump them because I don't want to take the chance. It's not worth it. So that's the deal with like tomatoes, eggplants, and potatoes. If you need, you know, the advice, just don't feed your chickens tomatoes. I mean, it's up to you. You don't have to. I'm not going to come to your house and say you should feed your chickens tomatoes, right? I'm not going to do that. But know that it's slightly alarmist, in my opinion. if you want to just be very, very safe, you can cook everything. Cooked potatoes, like leftover mashed potatoes, is now I feel zingy. Salted foods are not a good idea because it can cause problems with electrolyte imbalance. Now, full disclosure, we have chickens that will eat potato chips, which obviously are full of salt. They're not given the chips every day. They're not, my cat's over there by the window looking at something, and I'm like, what is this fatty looking at? This is the same one that pooped out the Q-tip the other day. But yeah, salty foods, it can cause an electrolyte imbalance, but you know, if you're feeding them the occasional potato chip, they happen to get one off the ground. I mean, our chickens have lived to tell the tale, right? So, but things like peanuts, cashews, almonds, if you feed them any nuts like that, you definitely want to make sure that they are unsalted and unroasted also. It can cause lots of issues with their blood sugar and their toxicity, right? Yay. So anyways, and it's just like a person. If a person consumes large quantities of salt, it causes blood pressure problems eventually over time, right? So that's the deal with that one. No salty foods, people. The next one is citrus, and I have a huge bone to pick with this one because there's actually been a lot of studies that they've done on giving orange juice to chickens. And these are broiler chickens and then egg chickens, you know what I'm saying? Chickens that are raised for eggs. This thing says that some chickens are very sensitive to vitamin C and can cause excessive feather plucking. I've never in my life, I've seen no evidence of that. So I did a whole article on citrus and oranges. Citrus in general, but we're going to talk about oranges specifically on this podcast. So oranges, I have seen enough evidence that shows me, that proves to me that oranges and citrus are actually okay to feed your chickens. So what they did were studies on broiler chicken. So it's for the meat industry, right? And the idea was that they wanted to see what would happen if they fed the chickens orange juice in their water. And what they found is that two studies showed that it lowered the lipoproteins, which is like the bad fat in chicken bodies, so the chicken flesh. So the reason they were interested in this is if they could claim some way that, and you know, this is hyperbole on my part, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, not hyperbole, but it's an assumption on my part, but I know how industry works. Theoretically speaking, if you can lower the cholesterol, the lipoproteins, and some of the sugars in chickens, it would make it healthier, and it would potentially, I'm not a physician, so don't quote me on this, but I did speak to physicians about this when I wrote this article because I wanted to make sure I was right in my thinking. Theoretically speaking, it could help people who have like type 1 or type 2 diabetes, you know, eat and make the chickens healthier for them to eat because it had lower bad fats and lower sugar in it. Again, that's theory. That is my assumption. I did speak to physicians about it, but don't take that as gospel. Do not quote me on it. They did find, though, that when they fed the chickens orange juice, it decreased cholesterol. And like I said, it decreased serum glucose, low-density lipoprotein, triglycerides, and very low-density lipoprotein. So it's a lot of big words to say that feeding them the orange juice, they found made the flesh healthier. That's pretty much what all that means. So that's good for anyone who wants to watch their sugar intake and watching their cholesterol intake. Again, this was just two studies, so don't take it as gospel, but I did find that, one, if you fed your chickens orange juice or citrus, they're not going to die and keel over, right? Number one. Number two, that it actually had a positive impact on human consumption. What they also did find, though, which is really interesting for people like you and me, who may not necessarily want to eat our chickens, is that when they combined orange juice with thyme, so like the herb thyme, it showed a synergetic effect against salmonella. So basically, it lowered the salmonella bacteria in the chicken's gut or body, presumably, right? I always kind of go with gut because they're digesting this stuff, right? And they also found that when they combined orange juice with thyme, it was effective in killing campylobacter. So salmonella, obviously, we know can give you food poisoning. Campylobacter will give you really bad diarrhea. Ask me how I know. My kids have had it. So it is really, you know, kind of interesting. They also found that it improved the growth of the chickens. So what they did in these studies is they provided the orange juice in the water. And then what I wrote here is always just make sure that if you do this, if you do give your chicken citrus or orange juice, just make sure it's fresh squeezed, that it's not like commercial orange juice. But basically, I've not yet seen evidence that citrus can cause harm to chickens, and I've seen everything I just read to you as evidence that it's actually possibly beneficial for chickens. So that's me getting on my soapbox about citrus. Now, that being said, one, you don't have to feed your chickens any citrus whatsoever. I'm not going to tell you you have to, right? Number one. Number two, my chickens don't like citrus. They don't need it. When I've given them orange juice, when I've given them lemons, they don't need it anyways. So this is interesting information that may or may not be useful to you in real life, but, you know, one, it proves that oranges are not really bad for chickens, and two, that I don't remember what the other, that's healthy for them, I guess. So that was my other point. So that's the thing about oranges and orange juice, but it was particularly the orange plus thyme combination. So they did study them separately. They studied the OJ separately, and then they studied the thyme separately, and they were not as effective as the combination for whatever reason. So just an interesting piece of advice to trot out at your next chicken-related party, right? Giving you B to make you look smarter, right? Okay. Okay, then the next one is onions. So onions is one of those things that people are kind of like, I feed my chickens onions and they're okay. And so here's the deal with onions. Again, I want to read this to make sure that I'm not misquoting myself. God forbid, right? So what they did in these studies is they fed chickens large quantities of, they didn't feed them large quantities of onions. They fed them, they gave them the particular thing in onions and brassicas. And it's lots of big words. I don't want to even try and pronounce these big words. I can read them, but pronouncing them sometimes is a little tricky, and it doesn't even matter, right? But they gave them large quantities of the particular chemical component in onions that can produce these results, though that they believe will produce these results, and found that large quantities of brassicas, so onions, green onions, garlic, which just put garlic out of your head, right? Garlic is more beneficial for chickens than not. That it produced leg weakness, feather ruffling, and lethargy. So theoretically speaking, if your chickens ate large quantities of onions or green onions, and that was like the only thing they eat, they might end up with some sort of toxicity, which will cause those symptoms. So that's sort of the where the idea that onions could be harmful for chickens comes from. Now, if your chickens are eating the occasional onion now and then that's in, like, I don't know, maybe you're feeding them leftover rice with onions, right? It's probably all going to be okay. So this is one where there's some truth to it, but it's not really as big of a deal as people like to think it is. You know, so when you see people say, well, I feed my chickens onions and they're okay, because they're probably not feeding like their chickens onions. It's not like their chickens are only eating onions, right? So just know that. I read that onions can taint the eggs. Is that true? I have not seen any evidence of that. You know, your chickens are what they eat. So if you feed them large quantities of onions, eventually they might start, their eggs might taste like onions. But the occasional onion, you know, there's things in their environment that are far worse to taint, that can taint eggs. So like if there's bacteria that gets into it, if the interior of the egg stays hot for long periods of time and it starts to incubate, that has happened. I have had people email me pictures and say, I opened up this egg this morning and it looked like this. What is this thing in here? And I'm like, I've had moments where I'm like, do I tell them that they're about to eat an embryo or that they might have just eaten an embryo, or do I just kind of keep my mouth shut? So there are things in their environment that are going to cause worse problems than the occasional onion in their egg, in my opinion. So that's the deal. I mean, if you're feeding them onions every day and that's the only thing that they're eating, and, you know, you're probably going to end up with problems. And you're going to end up with problems of toxicity with anything if that's the only thing that they're eating all day, right? You're going to end up with problems no matter what. But as for them tainting the eggs, I've never seen any evidence of that, and I've never personally experienced that. So I hope that helps you out, Jody. Thank you for commenting. Okay, next on our list. Uncooked rice, that's good advice. I would not feed my chickens uncooked rice. We all know that. So cooked rice, totally fine. Raw eggs, We all know how I'm going to, we all know what I'm going to say about this one. This is a load of baloney. It says, if you feed your flock raw eggs, then they may turn cannibal. I want a long period of silence for that bad advice that just killed reason. Right? No, it's not going to happen, guys. Okay. If you feed your chickens raw eggs, there's a possibility that they might go ahead and start, you know, picking at eggs to eat them. They might just realize that there's a delicious treat in there, delicious to them. But actually feeding them raw eggs is not going to turn them into a cannibal. What turns chickens into cannibals is social pressure, like being too close together in a coop or something, and not getting enough to eat. Okay, those are the two things in my experience. And, you know, there's going to be other, like, bizarre things that happen, right? But all things being equal, if somebody messages me and says, my chickens are turning on each other, they're picking at each other, they're cannibals, what's going on? Invariably, they're either not feeding the chickens enough, or they're feeding them something like scratch, which doesn't have enough protein or enough nutrients in it, or they've put way too many chickens in too small of an area. Almost universally never been. I've never had somebody message me and say, well, I fed them raw eggs, you know, this is, and be like, you know, everything else all being equal, right? It's just not going to happen. Now, feeding raw eggs is dicey because it has a potential. We all know that, like, I'm not like, eggs do have salmonella in them because there's not enough evidence that it's going to actually definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, be in there. It does have the potential for that, though, and it does have potential to have other bacteria in there, which could then reinfect your chickens. So the two reasons I don't feed my chickens raw eggs on a regular basis is because, one, it can reinfect them with something like a bacteria, and two, because I have had chickens that have eaten raw eggs and then decided that now they're going to start cracking open their own eggs. That's a whole other episode of how to stop that and why that happens, but that's why I don't personally do it on a regular basis. I say on a regular basis because, full disclosure, if there's an egg that is, like, totally poopy and it's been out there for 3 days because I missed it, I will just throw it on the ground and let them have at it. But that is a rare occasion that happens. So go ahead. If you want to feed your chickens raw eggs, they're not going to turn into cannibals. Just they're not. I don't recommend it, but it's not the worst thing that you could ever do for chickens, giving them raw eggs, right? So the next one is avocado skin and pit. So that's actually true to a large extent. Again, if they're getting the occasional pit or skin or flesh, the world's not going to end, right? It's if they're consuming large quantities of it. So according to the Merck Veterinary Manual, so whenever you see me kind of give advice like this, I'm either referring to the Merck Veterinary Manual, like I've done my research there, or I've done my research on PubMed, which has studies. So if you see me say stuff like this, understand that I've actually, like, read it. I've done my research, right? So what I've written here is, according to the Merck Veterinary Manual, avocado flesh, pits, and skin contains something called persin, P-E-R-S-I-N, which is just a toxin. It's like a fungus that's present in avocado. But what the Merck Veterinary Manual also points out is that when consumed in large quantities. So if you're feeding your chickens the occasional avocado, like flesh from the avocado, one of those mornings, guys, you're probably not going to run into issues. If you're feeding them 25 avocados every day, you know, you might want to reconsider that plan. What person can do is it can increase heart rate, it can cause tissue damage to the heart, and eventually will cause difficulty breathing. So again, though, we're talking large quantities. Okay, guys. So the other one on the list is apple seeds. Apples themselves are fine. The flesh is fine. The fruit is fine. The skins are fine. The problem with apple seeds, and also I'm going to include in this cherries, peach, so the stones, not the actual fruit, but the stones of the fruit, apricots, cherries, peaches, pears, and plums, all of those seeds contain cyanide. So if you're going to feed your chicken apples or apricots, cherries, peaches, pears, or plums, just remove the seeds or the stones just to make sure that they're not, you know, going to consume it. I forgot I had a tomato here. I bought this tomato yesterday because I wanted to shoot my rifle at it and watch it explode, but it's raining today and I can't do it. So I actually meant to hold up my tomato when I talked about tomatoes, and I failed in that mission. Anyways, guys. So that's the deal with apple seeds. I'm just looking at my list here real quick. The other ones that were not included on that list that are actually really, really critical, dried beans, so dried kidney beans, white kidney beans, when they're dried, this is true for dogs, cats, humans, anybody. If you consume them dried, there's a poison in the skin that can cause all sorts of toxicity issues. So if you're going to feed your chickens beans, just make sure that they're cooked or that their flesh is off or whatever. you know, I actually don't really feed my chickens beans. But should you choose to go that direction, just make sure that they're cooked. Because, again, like I said, the flesh does contain a toxin in it, the dried flesh. Sorry, guys, my throat is really dry today. And then the other one that you should pay attention to is rhubarb. So in case you don't know, when we as humans, we eat the stalks of rhubarb, right? But the leaves themselves are actually really poisonous for people. I don't know if they're really poisonous. I just read that they're poisonous. Poisonous, really poisonous, is all the same to me. I don't want it in my system. I don't want eating it, right? So rhubarb contains something called oxalic acid. In chickens, it can inhibit calcium absorption, leading to bone issues, nutrient imbalance, problems with eggshell quality. So if you're feeding your chickens lots of calcium for healthy eggs, and you're also feeding the rhubarb, they have a potential to cancel each other out. And then the thing to point out, the thing to remember, is that spinach, beet leaves, and Swiss chard, they're also related to rhubarb and might also contain oxalic acid. I have fed my chickens all those things, not rhubarb. I've never fed them rhubarb because we only had a harvest this year, but it was small. So I wanted to keep it for myself and not feed it to the chickens because they have feed, right? But I fed my chickens spinach, beet leaves, and Swiss chard, the leaves from the Swiss chard. It hasn't been an issue, but feeding them in large amounts. So again, if it's the only thing that they're eating for weeks on end, that's when you're going to run into some issues. So it will inhibit, it has shown in studies to inhibit calcium absorption. So that is everything on my list of what you should not feed your chickens and why it's okay to feed oranges and eggs. eggs especially can provide a really good source of protein, the cooked eggs, right? So scrambled eggs can provide a really good source of protein for chickens, especially in winter when maybe they're not getting as much foraging, or even like in our coops, there's bugs, not like, because it's outside, right? Bugs are going to crawl in. I don't mean like bugs like mites. I mean like ants come in, crickets come in, grubs come in, right? Flies. And, you know, they eat those. But in the winter, they don't have access to that as readily. So eggs can be really good for that time of the year. Well, that's my episode today, guys. I hope you have enjoyed it. I hope it has enlightened you and made you feel more chicken savvy. That is my aim, making people feel chicken savvy. So that, again, that's the end of the episode, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. Let me turn off Blog Talk Radio real quick. End episode. I always says, do you want to end your episode? Yeah, I do.